Okay. All right. Looking good. All right. This is going to be great.
Hey, what happened?
Sheldon, welcome to the new and improved Graveyard Studios.
New and improved? This place looks like a dump. It's a mess. The furniture is all askew and dirty. Did you actually dump dirt on everything?
It's all part of our new look. This week's movie showed me that if you want to bring attention to a franchise, you have to give it a dark, gritty reboot. You know, a little edge.
So you messed up the studio? But how'd that even work? This is a podcast. It's not like our audience can see the place.
Yeah, but we'll see it. It'll put us in the right frame of mind, and they'll hear it in our voices.
Whatever. We don't have time to argue about this now. We have a show to do.
Right. Let's get to it. Ready?
Let's do it.
Three, two, one.
Welcome to episode 71 of the Graveyard Shift Horror Podcast. I'm your host, Sheldon, and with me as always is my co-host, Mike.
Fuck you, you fucking asshole.
What are you doing?
Dark and gritty, remember?
So
let's talk about this fucking piece of shit before I fucking kill you.
Oh, okay, Mike, come on, that's enough.
I fucking hate you! Die!
Mike!
Oh, shit, I may have gone too far.
So tired of being stabbed on the show.
Oh yeah, that's like three times now. Ooh, now we're dark and gritty and bloody. Awesome!
Welcome to episode 71 of the Graveyard Shift Horror Podcast, where each week we watch a movie from the horror category and we break it down into the good, the bad, and any other category we decide to make up along the way. We'll talk about the plot, some production details, and anything else we find fun or relevant. I'm your host Sheldon, and I never worked a graveyard shift alone. Please say hello to a guy whose entire life is like a dark, gritty reboot of my own, my co-host Mike.
Hey everybody.
Mike, it was about a year ago that we covered Halloween 1 and 2 for our Patreon October episode. And only a couple weeks ago, we released it on our regular feed. And now here we are again, about to talk about Halloween. But this time, it's a little different. And why don't you tell everybody why?
Well, we are going to be talking about the first... Well, we are going to be talking about Halloween, but not the new Halloween out in theaters. No, this is the first remake, and that is why today's episode is not the worst Rob Zombie Halloween movie, because we just watched the first Rob Zombie Halloween movie. And since we talked about Halloween 1 and 2 on the Patreon, we will be talking about Halloween 2 on the Patreon. So make sure to donate if you want to hear what we think of the sequel to this movie, because we cared about you so much to not put it in the main feed.
Yeah, trust me, it'll be worth that $1 a month to hear what we thought about part two. But anyway, we're going to be talking about part one. That's right, we watched Rob Zombie's remake of the original Halloween, and here's a little info on it. Released in August, for some reason, of 2007, Halloween is a prequel slash remake of the 1978 John Carpenter slasher classic. It's rated R by the MPAA, has a runtime of 110 minutes, had a budget of $15 million, and saw a box office return of about $80.2 million. So it actually made some cash. Rotten Tomatoes give Rob Zombie's Halloween, as it's known, a critic score of, oh man, you can already smell it, 25%. And an audience score of 59%. So not a lot of love for this one. As for the plot, as if you didn't already know, after being committed for 17 years, Michael Myers, now a grown man and still very dangerous, escapes from the mental institute Environmental Institute? What? I'm sure it's supposed to be institution, but I lifted this directly from IMDb. And immediately returns to his hometown where he goes on a killing spree. Now, apparently Rob Zombie talked to John Carpenter about remaking this movie, and Carpenter gave him his blessing to do so, as long as he, and I quote, make it your own. And make it his own he did.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So before we get into the details of this, Mike, what are your honest thoughts of this?
There were parts of this that I thought were a good, faithful representation and, you know, kind of went in its own direction a bit. But for the most part, there were scenes in this, more than one, that just deflated my enthusiasm to see this movie. And I got tired real quick. Even when it started getting good again, I was like, now we have like a lot to recover from to get back to zero. So by the time we start rising, most of the effort was, again, spent just getting me back to zero.
Right.
Before getting impressed.
Yeah. Besides following the basic storyline, I mean, the movies are pretty different. When it comes to Rob Zombie's movies overall, I find them kind of a mixed bag. You know, you've got some that are pretty good. I've actually enjoyed quite well. Some other ones I really didn't care for. And I think this movie pretty much sums up Rob Zombie's directorial career. Like, is basically in a nutshell, because this movie is a mixed bag of good and bad. So this is pretty much like the average of the collection of all Rob Zombie's movies. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the good and the bad. Now, this can be, the good and the bad can be as broad or specific as we want. I mean, it could be a certain scene, certain line of dialogue, certain character, certain music score, or just an overall story arc. It doesn't matter. If it's good, we'll talk about it. If it's bad, we'll probably talk about it even more. And we always start with the good, and we always start with the Mike. So, Mike, please, tell me something good about Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Right when the movie's starting, we're seeing a bit of a domestic dispute between his mother and stepfather, or just current guy that his mom is banging. And this guy is like, he's already mentioned through expositional dialogue that he is crippled and not a very mobile person. So you think he'd, in his weakened state, he'd be a little bit nicer to the wife, but no, he's full of fucking abusive bravado. And when she's like bringing to light, like, you should be more grateful since you're crippled, he's like, maybe I'll crawl over there and skull fuck you.
Yep.
And I was just like, you did a great job, one, making me laugh at like a cripple making a physical threat, and also you giving me a character I want to see die right off the bat.
Yes. Yeah, I said I before the first time I saw this movie, like during that opening scene, I kind of had the feeling that you were going to see more people die in this movie than you did in the original Halloween. And yeah, I wasn't far off. Okay, so first thing I've got for the good is that they did explore Michael's childhood in depth a bit. Now, I do have some issues with it, but this is kind of a sore spot for a lot of people that are fans of the original Halloween. They didn't like showing this backstory, which is kind of like the prequel part of this movie. We did get to see Mike, what, you know, kind of showing what leads up to Michael kind of finally snapping, because all you see in the original Halloween is that everyone seemed to think he was just a pretty normal kid. You don't really see anything about him, because you don't even see him as a kid until after he kills his sister. You know, you see from his, when he kills his sister, you see it from just his point of view, right? Like behind the mask.
Yeah.
And then
until the mask is ripped off.
The mask gets ripped off at the end, and then you don't see him again until he's an adult, and you never see his face. You only see him in the mask. So a lot of people didn't like this. You know, they argue that it's better when you... kind of scarier, kind of more mysterious when you don't have a whole lot of information. But I don't have a problem with this. Like, I had no problem. I actually kind of enjoyed getting a little look at his background. So that was the first thing I had on the good. I think that was a good idea. Like, that was at least something that Rob Zombie, you know, decided, hey, what didn't the original Halloween have that I think would be interesting to throw in? And Michael's backstory was it. All right, so what else you got for the good?
When Michael makes his murderous debut, his stepfather is watching The Thing from Another World.
Mm-hmm.
They had to inject that in again as like a nod to Carpenter.
Yep.
In the original movie. And I was pretty darn happy with that.
I was too. There are certain things you didn't mess with. John Carpenter put that in the original Halloween because he was a big fan of the movie. That was a big inspiration that got him into horror films. And you know, just because it was like, yeah, it was in the original, and Rob Zombie is a fan of that movie as well, so he decided to keep that in there. And I'm glad you brought that up, because while that was, you know, something that they kept from the original, the next thing I have on my good list is something that they kept from the original as well, and that is the original Halloween theme song. They kept it in. I was so happy to hear that. Because that is just, like, right off the bat, I don't know how I would have responded. I think I would have been pretty pissed if they did a Halloween movie and the theme song wasn't there. That theme song is as iconic as Michael Myers himself. You can't do a Halloween movie without having that. So, glad he was smart enough to keep that in. Okay, what else you got?
I have to say, Dr. Loomis was pretty darn good. Malcolm McDowell did a great job.
Absolutely. It's funny, you pretty much nailed the next on my list, because I said there's two characters I really like in this movie. Malcolm McDowell as the doctor, and Brad Dourif as Sheriff Brackett. And Brad Dourif, if you don't recognize his face, although, you know, if you're really into horror movies, you would have seen him in quite a few things. But if you don't recognize the face, you probably would recognize a piece of voice acting he's done, because he's the voice of Chucky from Child's Play.
So who did he play in this movie?
He was the sheriff.
Oh.
I liked him. I thought he was a great character.
Yeah, he definitely owned the scenes he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he played a decent character.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they were better as the originals, because Donald Pleasance was great as Loomis. Maybe the sheriff was better in this one, because the sheriff was kind of a dull character in the original Halloween. He made the character a little more likable, added a little more depth to him. So, yeah, I'll say the sheriff was better in this one. Yeah, I don't know if I like Malcolm McDowell's character, Dr. Loomis, better than Donald Pleasance, but still, he was a good character. Definitely one of the stronger performances in this movie, for sure. And there was a lot of good minor characters in this one, and most of them played by Rob Zombie staples, of course. Danny Trejo in this, and he's fucking awesome. I don't even care if he's a good actor or not. I love Danny Trejo and everything that he is. He's just fucking amazing. Sid Haig was in this. Sherry Moon Zombie, she's in that's Rob Zombie's wife, so she's in pretty much every movie that he does. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I think she is fucking hot as hell. So,
oh yeah, she did a good job of sexying it up.
Yeah. So overall, not a bad cast. I don't think anybody did like a particularly bad job, even though when we talk about the bad, I am going to mention a few characters that there's certain things about them I don't like. But no one really, like, there was no like really bad acting jobs. Most of my problem with some of the cast was not the cast itself, but the characters themselves. So, all in all, like, not any real complaints that way. So what else you got for the good?
Just my final good, Laurie. In the first Halloween, she seemed like a bit of a, like a dull square with cool friends. But when we are introduced to her as in her teen years, she pulls like a really great gross joke with her mom about, what was it, like the shop teacher or something?
Yeah, I can't remember how it goes, but I do remember kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like a little gross and vulgar, and I'm just like, ooh, this little mousy girl's got a bit of a dark streak to her. I like her.
Yeah.
And like even the mom's just like, oh, you stopped. I raised you better than that. And it's like a great relationship between Laurie and her parents. Like when we see compared to Michael and his background, which is like a prequel to every episode of Cops, we get to see Laurie raised in a much more stable, loving family, seeing her parents interact and even with her friends, when they interact with her, she's like a likable character, a bit of like a mischievous streak, but also like a mousy, like one that's like a little bit more of a risk taker than the Jane Curtis performance. Jamie Lee Curtis,
yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis. A little stronger and braver, but, you know, only a little bit.
Yeah.
She kind of still falls back on being like mousy and like a demure babysitter type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll mention that in a little bit. So you said that was your final good?
Yeah.
Yep, for me too. I do have another one. Just set the amped up the blood and gore. Like, while the other one is a great classic and, like, it's much more subtle. Of course, this is Rob Zombie, so there's not going to be anything subtle in this. Blood and gore dial is turned up. Man, people get fucked up in this movie.
Yeah, and the other, in the first Halloween, one stab is enough to kill those people.
Yeah.
And it's probably enough to do it in this movie, but Mikey follows through on what he does.
Like, and I kind of, to be quite honest, like, I kind of like that better in the original one. Like, he was an efficient killer
in the first one. He's deliberate.
You know, like, he gets a little nuts. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, and when I say this is good, it doesn't mean that I necessarily like it better than the original. I want that to be clear. I'm calling it good that they had no problem turning up the gore factor in this. So that concludes my good list. Do we want to jump right into the bad?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So let's go right back to the first good that I had on my list, which was, I said I did enjoy that the kind of explored Michael's childhood a little bit, gave it like a little bit of a, like the first 40 minutes being like a little bit of a prequel. I am really not happy with that they're saying that pretty much all it takes to become a serial killer is to be from a dysfunctional family. Like, if that were the case, there'd be a lot more fucking serial killers. It's just way too much of a simplistic explanation. Basically, oh, things aren't good at home and he gets bullied at school, so now I'm going to start killing everybody.
Well, if you don't turn that rage inward and become like one of those people that commit suicide for their terrible life, then that rage gets turned outward and goes towards the world.
Yeah, I can understand, like, okay, like from maybe snapping and unleashing like on his kids something, but to just go into like wipe out your beat somebody to death and go wipe out your entire family and then become like a complete nutcase in a mental institute where and you escape from there and you got to go after like go back to your hometown and go on a killing spree again, like that's just I think like if you're going to explore background they should have went back and showed like much more psychological problems, like not just that it was from a dysfunctional family. I think it would have been creepier if it came from a nice normal family and had like psychotic tendencies. But that's the way things get portrayed in movies. It's like this is what happens. This is how a killer gets made. They just have a crappy life, and so they start killing people.
Wasn't there a Halloween movie that talked about like druids cursing him with something called the Thorn?
Yeah.
Where that's why he has to kill his family because he's compelled by a magic spell.
After part four is when they started, because like they did, of course, one and two were all the same story about Michael Myers. He was supposed to be dead. Then we talked about part three where they wanted to go in a completely different direction, do an anthology series where, you know, wasn't Michael Myers. It was a whole different story. That bombed, of course, because people just couldn't grasp the concept, as it turns out. And so they brought part four, they brought Michael Myers back, you know, basically just rehashed all the same thing again. Because, you know, apparently everyone else would rather be just bludgeoned to death with the same old over and over again. And then they went into the whole Thorn series where, yeah, he was basically just a tool of a druid cult. And I fucking hated that. Like, now...
So there is something worse than Rob Zombie's direction.
Oh, yeah. Like, I will get into that. Don't you worry. Like, I... As much as, like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this, compared to some of the sequels, I will take this one anytime. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, I just thought that it was just way too simplistic of an explanation. Like, it's way too simple. It's like, he had a crappy life, crappy childhood, so he started killing people.
Yeah, and then he just, like, stopped talking, and apparently he started lifting every fucking day.
Yeah, and apparently mental institutions just, like, pump steroids up your ass for, like, 7 hours a day, because holy fuck.
It's time to take your Buzatril and your protein powder.
Jesus Christ.
Well, regarding your problem with his origin, I'd have to say I had a problem with Michael talking, and I know Sheldon has had this exact same thought 71 times.
Good. That's awesome.
Like, we get to see him just talking and talking, and I'm like, well, he's a mute psychopath later on. What the hell's going on with this? And then they just explain that, he likes to put on masks and not talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weak.
It is.
It's like they just thought, he needs to transition. Yes, but you know what helps with the transition? An actual believable progression. Like, say that he gets his vocal cords ripped out. I mean, make it simple. You don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. He gets into a fight. He's stronger than everyone else around him. He takes on someone bigger than him, and it's an even fight, but he gets stomped in the throat, and he just can't talk anymore. But then he kills the guy that did it. So, yeah. Like, he's stronger, and now he's mute. Done. You don't have to be like, I just like to make, like, paper mache masks and not talk anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, and that wouldn't be hard to believe in that fucking, for lack of a better description, crazy-ass mental institute they put him in. Like, you'd be no problem thinking that some kind of fight broke out. You didn't even have to be with another patient. Could have been with one of the staff, for that matter.
Yeah, or even better, when he tries to attack the nurse. Like, when he attacks the nurse in the movie, this could be the perfect spot where they're wrestling with the scalpel and she slashes his throat, misses the jugular vein, but hits his vocal cords.
Yeah.
And now he can't speak. And there you go. He now has a reason for being a quiet kid instead of just, he just decided not to talk anymore.
Yes.
And would also explain why he would wear a mask, because he got cut up by the scalpel and, you know, now he's like shy.
Yeah, maybe it could explain more. So yeah, good point. Okay, so the next thing I got on my list is about the music. And all I gotta say is, man, the music is weird. Well, I mentioned earlier, I like that they got the original Halloween theme song in there. But my problem was it was used at really odd times. Not during any particularly tense scenes, just like out of the blue. I know there was one scene where, like, when Michael's mother is talking to the principal. And Michael's, like, just waiting outside, and all of a sudden, like, the theme song starts playing, and he gets just jumps up and runs. That was just before he attacks the kid that was bullying him.
Yeah, it would have been great if that music kicked in when the bully's walking home, and then you just get to see, like, a silhouette of Michael out of focus behind him. And then, or, like, just no music at all. And then when he gets hit for the first time, and you see Michael holding the little 2x4,
yeah.
Then you start playing the music and letting me, you know,
it was just,
this is where it began.
Yeah, it was just odd cues, and it was used way too often too. It came up like use it during like intense kill scenes. Like that's all you need to do it. And then we have the use of the song "Love Hurts." What the hell was that all about? That song pops up like a few times in a movie and at weird times. Like one time it's playing, Michael is just sitting on a curb looking sad while he was going to scenes of his mother stripping, like pole dancing. Like, what the hell is going on here? Why would you use that song? And like, that made no sense whatsoever.
It's like a really depressing version of the solo from Stacy's Mom.
God. Oh, goodness, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so I didn't get that. Like, just, that was my two biggest peeves. That song being used, like, Love Hurts just popping up at weird times. And then just, like, so happy they got the theme song. They put it at really odd times. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, like once when he does his first kill, once when he puts on the mask, like, after he breaks out of the asylum and finds the mask and puts it on. Like, when things are beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe one time when he, like, finally, like, makes his move on Lori. Or, like, she... I don't know.
Yeah.
Just, like, sparingly.
Yeah, like, you know, not too much. Too much just spoils it.
Maybe twice would be enough. When his first kill happens, and then when he puts on the mask, maybe three times, like, when he puts on the mask twice. Like, first time when he kills his sister, he puts on the mask.
Yeah, like, that would have been fine. Alright, so, anyway, what other problems did you have with this movie?
This movie was just too long everything. Just, like, too long in the asylum, too long being bothered at school, too long to kill his sister, too long, like, breaking out. I don't know about breaking the asylum being too long. That was, like, a nice slaughter scene. Well, actually, there was a lot in there that was too long, but that's a different bad we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything about this movie, again, like, that weird Love Hurts pole dancing scene, like, too long, like, just established that she's walking out of the strip club, being walked to the car, and that's done. Like, why are we trying to, like, are we seeing, like, we're seeing Michael and then his mom, like, is he, like, identifying with a sexualized version of his mom, or, like, why are we seeing this?
Yeah.
So, just so many things in this were just too long. And the movie itself was almost 2 hours and could have done like with 20 minutes less of everything, even maybe even a little less, like an hour 20.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, what I got next on my bad list, and this is going directly in the face of one of the things you had on your good list. While I did like that they made Lori's friends ditzy like in the original, I don't like that they made Lori the same way. To me, she was too quirky and hyper. I like Jamie Lee Curtis's more serious portrayal better, to be perfectly honest. Just because she was different than these other just obnoxious kids. So, kind of set her apart from that. So, I did like that better.
Who knew if that would have flied, like, with her being, I guess, would she have counted as a millennial? At the time, like, being 15 in 2007?
I guess so, yeah.
Or 16?
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so who knows if that character trait would have related with the millennials.
No, maybe. I'm sure there's got to be some serious teens out there somewhere.
In a post-Buffy world, you got to have teenagers that are, like, quirky, hip-referential.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, what else you got on your bad?
Oh, boy. What I alluded to before, the asylum scene where Mike is let loose, and it begins with these two orderlies who have come in to basically rape the patients. And we need to talk about what's bad about it, but I don't want to talk too much about it. It just raised a question, like, do we need to actually see sexual assault and fucking rape of a traumatized woman in the asylum? Like, did we have to see that in the movie?
No, of course not.
There are ways to let us know that, you know, there's a grosso shit-stained douche lord who needs to die. Ronnie didn't assault anybody on camera, and we hated him just fine. We rejoiced at his death just fine. We didn't have to amp it up and be like, well, Ronnie had, like, lots of abuse on Michael. He's, like, here's some strangers that really have to do some awful shit to die. It's like, there was a lot of hateful characters in this movie and the follow-up where, like, Zombie just seems to think, like, every person can't just be, like, you know, good but flawed. They have to be, like, fucking evil, and maybe some are okay. But, like, to him, like, the average person is, like, like an absolute monster. Or they just, like, every person in, like, Illinois happens to be a despicable, reprehensible beast.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like, that was not necessary. And kind of leads into what I had next on my bad list. Because, like I said before, where I did like the, you know, I did like that this movie was bloodier than the original. Not saying that that makes it better, that that was better in the original, but it's like, it sets it apart at least. Though I didn't think it was necessary. But this movie is not at all subtle. Whether it's, like, you know, a rape scene, Michael's over-the-top brutality in his kills, or the obscene dialogue. And speaking of obscene dialogue, Jesus Christ, the kid from Spy Kids needs to calm the fuck down. It's, that was a kid that was bullying him, right?
Shark Boy?
No, from Spy Kids.
Wasn't, oh, wait.
You're getting the two movies confused, I think.
I thought Shark Boy and Lava Girl was like a sequel to Spy Kids or something.
No, it was just basically just kind of like very similar. But, especially the line, like, hey, do you think if I give your sister $1, she'll suck my dick and let me suck on her titties?
Ugh, like,
Jesus again, Christ, I don't want to hear some little kid saying that. Like, what? Like, that's...
No, like, these people are... he's gone out of his way that every person who's a little bad has to be extremely bad.
And while I don't mind, like, the blood and gore being up the notch, I definitely don't have a problem with that. Michael's not stealthy or efficient in this version. He's... like a lumbering beast, and he likes to give his victims a good beatdown before actually killing them. But, you know, subtlety is not really Rob Zombie's thing, so I kind of expected that going into this movie.
And following the vein of, like, gratuitous, awful things, like, while the blood and gore was nice, the kills just took way too long, and I don't know, maybe I'm weird or I'm mellowing in my age, but it's just not fun to watch when these people are crying, weeping, sobbing, screaming, begging. I like a kill that happens so quickly they don't have time to call for help. It's just done.
Like,
and we can move
on. Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's not subtle, like, with his kills. They're brutal. Like, his victims get every one of them, too, like, gets tortured a bit first before dying, you know? Like I said, he has to give them a good beatdown. They're bloodied and sliced up before he actually ends them. So, yeah, like that's what I mean about, like, Michael's not a stealthy or efficient killer in this one. So, yeah, and that makes it seem, you know... that made him seem kind of more... I don't even know if it makes him seem more psychotic. I don't know what exactly I'm trying to say. But
Yeah, he's not even like merciful in his kills. He makes it all drag
like,
out.
He's enjoying like the torture part of it. Like it seems more psychotic to me that someone would be like very methodical in their kills, like just go directly for the kill, you know, like ram a knife through you and then you're dead.
Yeah, he needs them to suffer.
Yeah.
Like he needs to hear them scream and beg and like Danny Trejo. I liked him in the movie. He was a sweet guy, 3 months from retirement, and he did everything right. Usually in a movie, like, someone picks on the bad guy, and, like, they set him off. He was always nice to him, called him Mikey. He always did right by him. You think, like, when he goes on a rampage, he would see him and just, like, spare him. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean about this doesn't make sense. Like, in the original, it made sense because Michael was obviously just nuts. He's psychotic. But they set up this whole backstory for this one where, oh, he went on a killing spree, you know, because he had a rough childhood. He was treated badly. But, like, exactly to what you're saying, wouldn't that mean then that he would respond kindly to somebody that showed him kindness?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, I certainly don't know anything about any type of psychology, but, like, that's what I was thinking. Isn't that why they always tell you, hey, like, be nice to the weird guy at your work? Like, you know, because when he decides to come in and shoot up the place, maybe he'll let you live?
He'll remember.
Yeah.
You gave me cupcakes.
Exactly. I worked with a guy, and this was quite a while ago, but I worked with a guy who, his name was Pete, and, like, we literally called him Crazy Pete. And, yeah, I used to, like, every once in a while, I'd go get something from the vending machine, grab, like, a candy bar or something, and I'd get a second one and just give it to him. You know, when he came in, the day that he decides to come in and shoot up the place, maybe he'll remember that, you know, I gave him food every once in a while. So, yeah, like, again, like, yeah, exactly. To me, that didn't make any sense. That's a really good point. That if that was the case, he went nuts. He went on this, you know, became like this angry killer because of how he used to get treated so badly. So why killing people that actually treated him well? So absolutely. Well, I think I've exhausted all my bad lists, except for one thing. But like, do you have anything else?
Yeah. When Judith Myers walks in for breakfast. And, you know, Ronnie, he hasn't, like, again, in typical Rob Zombie fashion, he hasn't established himself as hateful enough. He has to look at his own stepdaughter and say, that chick's got a nice dumper.
Ugh, for fuck's sake.
And I fucking cringed at that. And, like, again, this movie, it does, for the few times it gets it right, but it spends most of its goodwill just backpedaling. Out of needless shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad enough to establish Ronnie as an asshole, but then you're just, like, insulting me by having dialogue like that. Yeah,
forget Michael. Like, Michael's mother should have killed Ronnie at that point.
Yeah, like, you're talking about, like, raping my daughter? Okay, well, here you go. I just put a little bleach in your cereal. There you go. Mm. Ugh.
So,
and just Laurie shaking a fucking fence when she's trying to escape. Yeah. you know how I feel about fucking chain link fences. Like, again, who is there a movie where somebody shakes a chain link fence screaming and someone either A comes and helps them or two, the fence falls and gives way and they actually have an
escape? If I ever make a movie. Like, I'm talking about, like, we get, like, you know, $1 billion worth of Patreon money. I'm making a horror movie, and I'm going to put a scene that where somebody runs up to a fence and shakes it, and the fence just fucking explodes.
Or the fence falls on them, and they're stuck.
No, even better. Yeah, they come and shake some fucking locked door, and they just shake it, and it just, like, comes apart.
I've got another one. Laurie is held, and again, like relating to that one, Laurie is held on a dirt floor in a shed, and then when she gets out of that, she's behind a fence, and I'm like, well, she's probably in a junkyard somewhere. It's secure, and then she climbs up the stairs and comes out of a fucking cellar. So all of this shit was happening indoors. There's a shed in the basement with a dirt floor and a chain link fence. The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know if that actually exists. This is the first time I've ever seen that. Like,
and
just why?
Yes. And then Loomis had bullets left. And when he gets Mike's attention, and Mike comes in to give him a head crush, you think all he had to do was just aim the gun up and shoot him through the jaw into the brain. You know, for a guy that knows the danger and durability of Mike, and we see this because he's getting the biggest gun he can get his hands on, you think he would have followed through when he got Mike up close. He deserved getting his head crushed just for being a fucking idiot.
Yeah. No, I agree. Oh.
And I'm out of bed.
Yeah, the only thing I had left was kind of like just made me just... those things that make you go, kind of moments. Because you see Loomis talking to adult Michael, you know, when Michael's... just not long before his escape scene, and Loomis is talking about how he's not going to be visiting him anymore, he's not going to talk with him anymore, stuff like that. And he actually says the line, I'm going to paraphrase, I didn't write it down exactly, but in a weird way, you're kind of my best friend.
That's a fucked up that, my life.
That's what he told Michael, right? The next scene that we see Loomis, he's giving a talk in front of a bunch of people with a big picture of Michael on the screen back, like a projected picture. This is the face of pure evil. It's like, there's no rehabilitation for him. He's just pure evil. It's like, 5 minutes ago, you said he was your best friend.
Well, you can admit your best friend's faults.
Yes, I know. God damn. You're my best, in a way, you're kind of my best friend. And I'm going to give a lecture on how, like, you're literally Satan.
Well, he figures he's not going to hear it. I can puff him up a bit.
Oh, fuck. I just thought that was, like, funny, but, like, funny in a bad kind of way. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, did you write this too, Rob Zombie? Because stick to fucking music lyrics, please.
Yeah, just talk about digging ditches and burning witches, because you obviously can't write interpersonal family dramas.
Yeah, so... yeah, I just thought that was bad. I'm like, that made no sense. Like, tell him that... don't tell him in a weird way your best friend. Tell him, I just don't think that I've obviously can't do anything to help you. And just that. Like, not this bullshit about how you're kind of my best friend. Fuck off.
Oh, I remember one more thing was when Lori's trying to make the phone call to the police and her friend is screaming. It's like both of these women are fucking stupid because Lori has to be fucking deaf to not hear her friend screaming like urgently, like get back here and fucking help me. Of course, how stupid is the friend to not just shut up, wait until Mike leaves, or just say, like, if you're going to scream, just say he's in the fucking room, get out or help me. It's just needless screaming.
Mm-hmm. Nope, you're absolutely right. But, there is something, though, that I, now that you may come kind of mention that when you talk about her friend, but this should have been on my good list, because her friend, Danielle Harris... who actually is a Halloween veteran, because she was in some of the sequels from the 80s as well.
Yeah, she's that old. She looks like a fucking 15-year-old.
Yes.
And she is in her 40s. Damn, that's good
she
aging.
She is, she's 41 years old, so she would have been, this was in 2007, so she would have been in her 30s, or she would have been 30 years old when this movie was made.
Yeah, like... she is the successful attempt that Luke Perry made on 90210 of playing somebody like 25 years younger than yourself. She succeeded where he failed.
Yeah, because the girl that played Lori, Scout Taylor Compton, she was actually a teenager in this movie. Like, the actress was a teenager.
She could have been the daughter.
Yeah. And, so Danielle Harris... was actually 30 years old when they filmed this. And yeah, she's 41 now and still looks fantastic. But yeah, she's been in a couple of Halloween movies now, because she played Jamie Lloyd in Halloween 4 in 1988. So she's been in this one. She made it to the sequel as well. So yep, she's definitely a highlight of this movie for sure. So yes, I've eliminated all the good and the bad. Jesus Christ, Mike, for this one, you got a lot of choices, buddy.
Oh yeah, we had it was a cornucopia, or a corpsecopia, if you will, for my kill of the week. And I guess I gotta give it to Ronnie's death. He was such a fucking asshole in the beginning of the movie, and just thinking, like, I really wish this guy would die so I don't have to see him anymore. And then when Michael gets his first taste of blood after dealing with the bully, he decides he's gonna clean up shop at home. And boy, he fucking tapes down Ronnie something good. Like, because he's not totally buff yet. So he tapes him down. Like, he used an entire roll of duct tape on this guy. Like, he basically mummified him. At this point, he could have just put the duct tape over his nose and be done with it.
Yeah.
But, boy, this guy is so drunk, he slept through being mummified to this chair. Like Gulliver's Travels binding. And instead, he just wakes him up with a nice slash across the throat, and you just see gurgling blood, and Ronnie the cocksucker is no more.
Yep, a little slow throat slash.
Oh, yeah, the one time where it was okay to linger.
Yeah, I had no problem with him suffering. But still, unfortunately, he suffered much less than a lot of other of Michael's victims in this movie.
Yeah, it almost seemed merciful in comparison to what he did to people he didn't even know.
Yeah, but certainly he was one character from this movie that I had no problem seeing the lights go out, for sure. Okay, yeah, good pick. That was you had a lot to choose from, but none of them really easy picks, because there was good kills in this movie. So, yeah, I agree. I think I got probably the most pleasure out of that one. So, good choice.
Well, it's not like I could do like the Paul on the wall thing, because it took like several stabs to, and it seemed like a light stab when he was put up against the wall. Like, you could see most of the knife. And you didn't even get to see the knife, like, go into his chest. It was, like, a barely stabbed puncture as long. And then, like, when he lets go, the handle is suddenly sticking just barely out of his chest. So that was, like, a continuity error. Well,
you had to take points off of that, for sure.
Well, of course, it doesn't make the cut when you don't even know how to...
No.
You don't make the cut if the editor doesn't know how to make the cut.
Well, guys, that is it. That's our coverage for Rob Zombie's Halloween. We want to know, and I am being so serious about this, we really want to know what you thought of that movie. You know our thoughts of it now. But like I said, it's kind of a mixed bag. I certainly don't like it as good as the original Halloween. I will take the original Halloween, I think, as a masterpiece, much more subtly done. I'll take that any time of day over this one, but I will give it credit. Like, it, the good parts are really good, and I'm going to be honest, I would gladly pick this one over some of the later sequels of Halloween. They did a good job for the most part. I think after part 4, things started really going downhill. Then we had like Halloween H2O. You know, the 90s, of course, had a 90s like feel to it. It wasn't bad, but then they couldn't leave it there. They had the whole series wrapped up in a nice pretty bow. They could not leave it there. They had to come out with Halloween Resurrection. You know what? The last we see of Michael Myers in Halloween Resurrection before the reboot is that he was getting the shit kicked out of him by Busta Rhymes. Come on, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, he had them all in check.
That's what you do to, like, this unstoppable killing machine? Busta Rhymes goes all kung fu on him? Like, literally, he's doing, like, spin kicks and everything, like, roundhouses. And so at least this movie, they made Michael Myers, like, a freaking badass again. So I'll give it props for that, because, Jesus, that was just an abomination.
Yeah, so what about, like, the presentation of Michael Myers? Like, I thought it was weird seeing him basically as, like, this Mankind motherfucker who is all just, like, hair and a beard that goes down to his friggin' ribcage.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. I'll give that point. Like, I don't know, because we don't know, like, that's the thing, like, in the movie, in the original Halloween, like, we don't really know what he looks like, right? What's going on underneath the mask?
Yeah, here we know he's a fucking caveman. Apparently nobody shaves him.
So that was kind of weird. But, I'll give this movie props. Like I said, at least he made it, like, he made him badass again. It was certainly better than the later sequels. So I'll take it over those. Just no comparison to the original. But, yeah, like, again, you know our thoughts, but we want to know your thoughts. What did you think of this movie? Are you in the majority that, you know, generally don't like this movie, or are you in that minority that are actually good with this one? I have heard the occasional person say that they like this movie better than the original Halloween. And
we don't talk about it anymore.
So we want to know your thoughts, and we want to know your thoughts on the upcoming Halloween sequel that's actually going to be a direct sequel from the original. That's how you know that your sequels were really good, when they come out with another movie in a series that completely disavows that any of the other sequels even existed. So, so this one's coming from a universe where parts 3, 4, 5, was there 6? I think 6, H2O and Resurrection never happened.
Yeah. They weren't even considered 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I mean, you know when they're just, like, we don't even number them anymore, because we, like, there's no fucking plot anymore. We don't
actually
care.
And I think part 2 is being, like, completely forgotten about as well, too. I think it's literally starting up from where part 1 ended. And
it had to be, like, part 2. Like, you had to include 2 because it followed through with the same
thing. Yeah, it did, but think about it. Like, I mean, this is the thing about, after part 2. Like, it should have been wrapped up there, because Michael Myers had both of his eyes shot out and then, like, burned to death. Like, literally, like, we last see him, he's completely engulfed in fire, just laying on the floor, roasting. So, from what I've heard, they're completely forgetting about part 2 as well. It's part 1, and now this new Halloween movie.
Yeah, Halloween, and its new true sequel.
Halloween. Yeah. So, tell us...
Man, I just that alone, I don't have hopes for this. Even if they just called it, like, the real Halloween 2, like, give us something.
The real Halloween 2.
Hey, while we're still talking about that, do you think that Halloween 3 would have gotten a higher, a warmer reception if they just dropped the Halloween 3 from it and simply called it Season
Absolutely.
Of the Witch?
A lot of people, Mike... Like 80% of people you talk about Halloween 3, when you bring up the topic of Halloween 3, the people that have seen it, 80% of them that didn't like it say the first thing they complain about is, oh, there was no Michael Myers in it. They don't say anything
exactly. So
else about it. It's that I didn't like it because Michael Myers wasn't in it. I was like...
Yeah, so you eliminate the name and boom, all that expectation and attachment is gone, and then the movie can stand on its own
absolutely.
Merits.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm 100% certain that if it didn't have Halloween attached to it, it would have been much more successful.
It still would have been a fucked up movie with a big confusing, ambivalent ending, and a plot which, as we've dissected thoroughly, would not work on a scale larger than 1 or 2 time zones.
Yeah.
And America has 5, so that's, like, at best a 40% success rate of just killing kids who... would have, like, cut their trick-or-treating short to watch TV.
And that's just getting into, just barely scratching the surface about how, like, this whole plot would not work, but...
Oh, also, yeah, because there's questions like, how would the giveaway fucking work by watching with a mask? It's not like the mask has, like, a lens that it's, like, you'll decode a signal or a phone number for us to call, and whoever calls in first gets it. I didn't need to think too much about this, but, you know, how the fuck does wearing a mask watching TV work with the giveaway?
There you go. It's not like, that should have been the tagline of that movie. Like, Halloween 3, overthink it.
We didn't.
So, but anyway, guys, we want to know your opinions on this movie, any of the Halloween franchises. What you think is your favorite? Are you going to be looking at, going to go watch the new Halloween movie? And do you have any movies that you want us to cover for the show that we haven't gotten to yet? You got lots of ways to contact us. First of all, you can do it the old-fashioned way and just send us an email at graveyardshiftpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @GYS_horrorpod. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thegraveyardshiftpod. And, of course, on Instagram, instagram.com/thegraveyardshiftpod. And if you're feeling particularly generous, you'd like to set us up with some gifts and money because, you know, like we just said, there's a new Halloween movie coming out that we would love to review on the show. So send us a little cheddar cheese so we can go check it out. Totally just ripped that off from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 because I watched some clips of that. No, not from Guardians of the Galaxy, sorry, but it was Guardians of the Galaxy, but in Marvel Infinity Wars where he's talking about called his reward cheddar cheese. Saw a clip of that today, and I don't know why it stuck in my head. Give us money is what I'm trying to say. If you're feeling...
Yeah, let this be a source of actual income so we can do more with it.
Yes, so we can actually go and, check out a movie, not just suggestions of older movies, but go check out some new ones in the theaters once in a while. But if you're feeling like you want to be part of that, you can head on over to www.patreon.com/graveyard. There you can help us out with some costs for the actual public producing the show, publishing the show, and to set us up with reviewing some new movies and help us out with some giveaways. Of course, everything you donate goes to helping out with all of that stuff. And you get some immediate satisfaction by doing so, because you get access to some sweet Patreon-exclusive episodes. These are only available to our Patreon donors that are donating at least $1 per month. These are episodes that are completely separate from our normal feed. We do these a little differently. We do movie reviews just like we do here, but sometimes we'll do them differently. Instead of just doing good and bad, we'll give you a full synopsis of the movie from start to finish. Sometimes we do different stuff. We'll do top 10 lists, top 5 lists. We've done some horror video games and some TV shows as well. So check that out. And like I said, that is only for our Patreon donors donating at least $1 per month. And of course, nobody understands better than us that not everyone has the money to donate to a podcast. But you can still help us out a ton by rate, reviewing, and subscribing on whatever source you're getting your podcast, however you're listening to the show. There's got to be some kind of rating and subscribing feature. That would help us out greatly. In the long run, actually, that's what helps us out the most. So we certainly do appreciate that. You can also rate us on Facebook. There's always a rate button there. We greatly appreciate a good rating right there. Share us on social media, that helps us out, and share us by word of mouth. If you know somebody that likes horror movies and would like to hear a show about two guys talking about these horror movies, let them know about us. So Mike, if people cannot get enough of you, how could they satisfy their craving from another source?
Well, you can hear me play and discuss old video games on the Taste Test Retro Gaming with Flavor. You can find that wherever you find podcasts, and you can also hear what other types of skits I get up to when I'm not with Sheldon.
And if you can't get enough of me, listen pretty soon because they're going to be doing a Halloween episode that I'm going to be part of.
Woohoo! So
looking forward to that.
Yep, and Sheldon will again be, will come up with some good skits. We did a good one last year for our Halloween grab bag with movie titles.
Oh, that's when I was Freddy Krueger, right?
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun doing that with you. And then also the Playing With Power podcast. We're trying to finish up the year 1996. Not going really well because my host is encumbered with children. And he is just not able to have a silent house to record.
His house is infested with parasites called children.
Yes, the cloning experiment has gone horribly awry. So we're eventually going to finish up the year of 1996 and then see if we can finish up 1997 with a new host who, although he has a child, keeps them like appropriately caged in a soundproof room. Which is really like the way all parenting should be at some
point. Daddy needs to record, so you get in your sack.
And then finally, the Technobabble podcast, which is just Technobabble. We had a ignore the plugs in earlier episodes. It is just Technobabble with Mike and Rich. And that's where I talk about technology, gadgets, a little bit of science, breakthroughs in all these things, and a little bit of good news with people using their heads to create devices that will make the world a better place or life for people better. So, you know, I try to keep busy, and, you know, I'm working on a new little side gig, but we'll save the details for later after the Halloween rush is over.
Can't wait to hear about that one. Yeah, so guys, so yeah, you if you can't get enough of Mike, then you've got a problem because you can find lots of Mike out there. So. And yeah, if you follow us on Facebook, you can pretty much get access to any of the links to those shows. So check that out. Guys, well, thank you so much for listening to our breakdown of Rob Zombie's Halloween. If you want to hear our thoughts on Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, then that's our next Patreon episode. It's going to be our October Patreon episode coming up. And Jesus Christ, that movie gives us a lot to talk about, so you might want to check that one out. It'd be worth the dollar just to pay for 1 month to listen to us talk about that one.
If you thought love hurts, try watching this movie.
Oh, fuck. I don't even know what to think of that one. But, yeah, and we got another, because we've, you know, all of our movies this October is going to be Halloween themed, which is a weird thing to say because, like, we deal exclusively with Halloween, with horror movies. So almost every episode we do could fit Halloween, but it just feels weird that, like, you know, we got to have like a certain set of movies just for October because it's the Halloween season. But really looking forward to next week's episode because we're doing something that's really different than anything we've done before. So
at least in the main feed.
In the main feed, yeah, it really does feel next week's episode really does feel more like a Patreon episode, but yeah, it's good to change things up every once in a while. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. It's going to be quite a nice little bit of nostalgia for a lot of people that listen to our show.
Yeah, and I've had enough Michael Myers to last me a year, so
yeah,
we can talk about the other Michael Myers movies. For like next Halloween,
maybe
there'll be enough to.
That's gonna be tough, man. Because I'm definitely gonna be checking out the new Halloween movie, and I'm probably gonna really, really want to talk about it on a regular feed. But since we've already got our Halloween block of movies, you know, our Halloween episode's already kind of locked down. It might have to sit on it till next Halloween. I don't know. We'll see.
Or make it like a quick bonus episode, so we'll keep to our regular schedule and also just throw this in just as a bonus because we love you.
Yeah, maybe we might have to think about that. Anyway, well, guys, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we're going to be having another episode coming for you real soon. And also, besides all the movie stuff, the questions I asked you about the movies and suggestions, let us know what your Halloween plans are. What are you going to be doing this Halloween? Do you have a regular routine? Do you throw a party? Do you just watch horror movies? Do you do like a whole, is your Halloween decorating like kind of a big gig? Do you put on a nice show for the kids? Or do you just scrap it all together and just not do anything? So let us know, because I want to talk about it on the show, like leading up to our Halloween episode.
And also, you can message us some awesome pictures that you've, or costumes that you've done in the past or that you're doing this year.
Yeah, send us pictures of your Halloween costumes. We will, if you want, we'll share them on our social media pages. And
not just costumes, your house. If you've decked out your house to a spooky haunted house motif, send us pictures. If you got like decorations that light up or scream, send us like a little video. We'll put the best ones up on our and by best ones, probably, given that we don't get like a lot of feedback, like probably like all two or three responses.
Yeah.
Which will probably be from Eric.
Scanny costumes are welcome. Just make sure that the bits are covered up, because we don't want to be breaking any Facebook rules or anything.
No, you can email us those other ones.
You can email Mike those other ones. Anyway, until next time, guys, this is Sheldon.
And this is Mike.
Thank you again for joining us on the Graveyard Shift. Ha 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 ha